I'm like, well, maybe Christian can pick you up at 1:22. And then it went to, we didn't get on the plane, we're being diverted, this and that. We had all the prayer people praying, but we prayed that it would be safe, that they would arrive to Boston safely, and if it wasn't safe, they didn't get on the plane, amen? So they are in right now, please pray for Pastor Mike and Laurie, they are in Connecticut somewhere, trying to rent a car so they can drive. I think the closest they could get was Hartford, so they had to drive up. So they'll be here at some time, maybe this morning, maybe not till tonight, I don't know what's going to happen. But wow, this is like, woo, bright. Can you see me squinting? Yeah. Praise God. So how many of you guys are planning to go to the marriage encounter? Come on, lift up your hands. If you don't lift up your hands, that means you don't care about your marriage. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, if you guys need a loan, I would be happy to help you to go to this marriage encounter because it's going to be awesome. And anything that you can do to sow into your marriage is excellent. And when you have a third party that will talk into that situation. So you and your husband may have differing opinions on different things. And what happens is the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, through the men and women that will be preaching, will then divide, rightly divide the word. And then instead of having an argument, it's settled. The Lord settles it right there. And by the word of God and through the Holy Spirit, there is reconciliation and everybody can get on the same page. Because when men and women are in agreement, there is no greater place to be. When you're in agreement with each other and with the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. Amen? Remember, the Bible says that they were in one accord, in one place, and the Holy Spirit fell. Amen? So that's what we aim to do. And I was told by a little birdie that on Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, the luncheon is being done by Johnny Macaroni's. Has anybody ever been to Johnny Macaroni's? Oh my gosh, if you have not gone. If you just came for the Johnny Macaroni's, you'd be blessed by everything else. But oh my goodness, it's very, 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 very good. So you will be blessed, okay? So sow into that marriage because that's, I'm telling you, that's the most important thing is your union, your unity together for your whole family, for the spiritual unit that God has put you in, amen? All right, so praise the Lord. Everybody reach out your hand, say, gonna pray for me. We're gonna pray. Lord Jesus, I got the call at 12:40 a.m. by Pastor Judy. Are you awake? I'm like, no, no, no. But I am now. No worries. So we're going to pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are the teacher, that you are the awesome God, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're with me, you're in me, and I thank you that you will say what you want to say the way you want to say it because you are the teacher of the church. And we just thank you right now for it. In Jesus' name, everybody agrees, say amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So how many people know that these are intense times that we live in right now? So I just want to remind you that whether you knew it or not, but when you ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, I have to get out of this light. When you ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, you were drafted. Turn to the person next to you and say, you were drafted. You may not have known it, but you are in the Lord's army. How many of you sang that in children's church? I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. That's exactly what you are. You are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now more than anything, we need to learn and just get into that place that God has called us to be in because we are co-laborers with God. The things that the Lord wants to accomplish on the earth, he cannot do unless he does it through us and with us. Amen? So lift up your hand and say, I'm a co-laborer. And I'm a good soldier. Okay, let's look at the scripture. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Let's look at that. Tell me when it's there. So I probably won't see it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Click. Verse 3. As his divine power has given us all things, say all things, that pertain to life and godliness. So he's given us equipment equal to all things that would pertain to our life and living a godly life. Amen? Through the knowledge, how do we get it? Through the knowledge of him that is in this world. Oh, wait a minute. Through the knowledge of him, where'd you go? Who called us by glory and virtue. Amen. All right, now verse 4. By which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So the word of God, amen, enables us through faith in that word, by the instruction of Jesus Christ, in cooperation with the Holy Ghost, enables us to not just live as regular human beings, but people that have Christ Almighty living on the inside of us, God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we can live and be a partaker of the divine nature. Amen? Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says that we don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. There are distractions, multiple distractions going on in the world right now. You know that, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. I cannot watch news anymore. Mm-mm. There is a great program called Flashpoint. You guys into that? It's basically a Christian broadcasting network that does news in the spirit of faith. I can watch that. But when I watch regular network TV, is it just me, but I get angry. And that spirit of strife will come on me. And it's so important that we don't take up other people's offenses, that we don't get caught up in division and divisiveness, that we don't get caught up in anger and hatred, because that will disintegrate, that will neutralize the power of God on the inside of us, because faith works by love. And love conquers all things. Love is the place of victory. Amen? So the enemy wants to get us out of agreement and out of love so that he can divide and conquer. That's exactly what he's trying to do. But we are wiser than that. Amen? Hallelujah. So we don't get caught up even in, you know, stupid things, like because there's a lot of distractions in the world. I mean, I want to know who's going to get the rose on The Bachelor. You know, that's okay. But in wartime, we have to get serious. I mean, you can follow J-Lo's latest fling, or you can get in the Word and realize who you are and put on your armor and get ready for battle. Amen? Hallelujah. Because it's going down. I don't know if you know, but we are in the last of the last days. We're talking about the last. They were saying last days in the book of Acts. We're in the last days. But this is the last of the last days. All the prophecies, I mean, I've heard a lot of prophecy teachers, and they're like, it could happen, the rapture could happen any minute. We could be out any minute. So we want to make sure that we purpose to do all the things that God has called us to do, because the time is short. And because the time is short, and the enemy knows the time is short, he is increasing his attacks on the church. He's increasing his infiltrations, if you will, into the church. So we have to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Amen? Hallelujah. But we are co-laborers with God. He's the head. We're the body. If something's going to get done in the earth, it's going to happen through me. Turn to the person next to you and say, if something happens on the earth, it's going to happen through you. It's going to happen through me. Amen. So, hallelujah. He did not leave us without weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4, please. 2 Corinthians 10:4. God is good. I have a timer, you guys. I love it. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Tell me when it's there. Is anybody there with scriptures? I'll read it to you. How's that? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. One of our weapons as we co-labor with the Lord is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. So you use that after you put on the whole armor of God. We put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, we stand therefore, having our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, helmet of salvation, and then we're ready. You have to know who you are. Say, remember who you are. Remember Mufasa? Remember who you are. Hallelujah. Because there's greatness on the inside of all of you. And we can live in Hakuna Matata, and we can be worried about The Bachelor and J-Lo and all that and live like normal mortals. You are not a normal mortal. You are not. You are a supernatural child of God with a mission on the earth, and it's time for us to get to it. Say, get to it, get to it, get to it. Okay. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I already do this scripture? I don't think I did. I did, right? Okay. Pray for me, see? I'm praying for you, sis. Okay, okay, okay. All right, I got notes everywhere, you know? You get called at 12:40 at night. It's just everywhere. Okay, so our mission, what is our mission? Our mission is to get souls saved, amen? Our mission is to take territory, amen? Our mission is to bring back things that have been stolen, amen? For the thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But God, Jesus has come to give life and life more abundantly. Amen? So we have our weapon. Our weapon number one is the Word of God. Weapon number two, perhaps fought by more than even the Word of God. This weapon is a secret weapon. It's an excellent weapon. It's an awesome weapon. But other people and other churches might even fight against this weapon. Do you know what it is? Praying in tongues. Hallelujah. It is perhaps one of your greatest weapons. Amen. Mm-mm-mm. Amen. So here we are. We're soldiers. We're in the Lord's army. We jump into boot camp. We learn the word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm more than a conqueror, amen? And we learn the word, and we put the word on the inside of us. We learn who we are. And then we learn to pray in tongues, and we receive the baptism of fire. How many of you have received the gift of the Spirit? The tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is the only gift that you can operate anytime you want. Because there's three different operations of the gift of tongues, and we'll talk about it real quick now. But it's you have the trigger on that. And the Bible says, he that is faithful in the least will be faithful with much. If you, and it says, earnestly desire the best gifts. If you want to operate in other gifts, take the one you have and use it, use it, use it. Because that's the door to the rest of the Spirit. Amen? Okay. So tongues. Pastor Ed talked about this a few weeks ago. So how important. How does the Lord use tongues for his purposes? Number one, first one, you see in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts 2, 1 through 11. The first operation of the gift of tongues is as a sign to the unbeliever. My father brought this up out of the blue a couple of days ago. Mike and Allie were over. We were watching this movie. He likes this movie. His favorite movie is The Quiet Man with John Wayne. Very nice movie if you have a guy that moves, like his parents were from Ireland, and they immigrated to America, and he moves back to Ireland, and it's the whole story. But let's get back to the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There they were, one accord in one place. Everybody say one accord. One place, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each one of them. Yes. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. How do we know that they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they began to speak with other tongues. Keep going. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. Wow, that's about everybody, right? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So signs, tongue is a sign to the unbeliever, is them preaching and seeing as they're speaking in tongues. They're hearing, the people are hearing in their own language. And you're talking about God. Let me give you a story about Alex's grandmother, Pastor Judy Cook. You all know Judy? So one day, Judy, and Judy, if you're here or any of her family's here, correct me in any areas I'm wrong, but Judy is a cashier in a store. She's doing her thing, and a lady comes through and apparently faints. She's on the floor. So Judy doesn't know what to do, and how do you pray when you don't know how to pray? You pray in the Spirit. So she leans down and starts to pray for this lady in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. She prays in tongues. The lady gets up and she said, do you speak Lithuanian? Or whatever her language was. I'm not sure what it was. And Judy says, no, I don't speak that. She says, I heard you speaking and saying things about God, how wonderful he was. And how. When she was praying in tongues, amen? God wants to use you. There are other stories of people, missionaries, when they went to other lands, did not know how to speak the language. And the Lord gave them an operation of the gift of tongues where they could actually, when they prayed in tongues, the natives heard them in their own language, speaking about this the wonderful great God. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's the first operation of the gift of tongues. It's a sign to the unbeliever. Say, sign to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians 14:22 says, therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but for unbelievers. That's 2 Corinthians 14:22. Check it out when you go home. Second operation of tongues is for personal edification. Say personal edification. So here we are in boot camp. We're building ourselves up. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 14:2-4. All right, guys. Tell me when you get there. Are they there? 2 Corinthians 14:2-4. Should I read it, guys? I'm going to read it. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak unto men, but unto God. For no one understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Let's get, you got 1 Corinthians 2:7? 1 Corinthians 2:7. Oh, that's right. It's 1 Corinthians 14. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:7. So what are the mysteries that they speak? When you speak in tongues, you're speaking in the spirit, and you are speaking mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. What are those mysteries that I'm speaking? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. I'll get there. 7. They got it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Can you do the next one? Verse 8. For our glory. Hallelujah. This is what happens when you do this at 12:40 at night. This is what happens. We're doing all right, okay? You got me, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. It says, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known these mysteries, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God into the earth. And as we pray, the enemy tries to intercept, but he can't, he doesn't understand. It's like code. So in World War II, I spoke about this in one of my classes. In World War II, one of the things that were happening, they were beginning to lose the war. The war was turning because the enemy intercepted our code in World War II. And so they were, what can we do? What can we do? And they found the Navajo Nation, the Indians, the Navajo Indians had a code that they would use that nobody could break. And I believe, and we all, and a lot of people believe that that was the turning of the war. The enemy had no idea what the plans were, where we were going to be, when we were going to be there, and then we were able to take that to our advantage. Likewise, when you pray in tongues, the enemy does not know what you're doing. Amen. He doesn't have any idea what you're praying, so he can't be a step ahead of you. You're a step ahead of him. Amen. So, verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 14:2-4, I gave you 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, it's 1st, says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Everybody say edifies himself. So if you're down, if you're low, if you don't feel spiritually good, what do? Pray in tongues. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and praying in the Holy Ghost, which will edify you, build you up. You can do that as much as you want, as often as you want. There is no excuse for us to not be edified, because God has made us our own. We are the ministers of our own edification. So if you don't feel good spiritually, pray in tongues. Everybody say, pray in tongues. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul says, I pray in tongues more than everyone. Now, when you're in the congregation, if I began to preach in tongues, that probably would not be good unless you had the gift of interpretation of tongues. Amen? And Pastor Ed brought this out a couple of weeks ago. When we pray in the Spirit during, if you come to a prayer meeting, you will hear people praying in tongues. Amen? Why? Because we want the perfect will of God. However, we also pray, God, will you interpret the tongues? And what he does is he'll give us English words so that we know what we're praying for, so that we can attach faith and scripture to the will of God. So the best form of prayer is that. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but amen. So say, build yourself up. Give the person a smack next to you and say, build yourself up. What are you doing? This is boot camp, y'all. Okay, Jude 20, we have Jude 20? He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Jude 20, they're looking. There's only one chapter in Jude, so I didn't give you anything. All right, here we go, you ready? But you, beloved, building yourselves up, say building yourselves up, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I used to say, Lord, how do I build myself up in my most holy faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right. Not having heard, hearing and hearing, hearing and hearing, hearing and hearing the word of God. But as I get into the word, and I study the word, and then I pray in the Spirit, now I'm building myself up in the most holy faith, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He reveals things to come. He reveals the meaning of the word. He reveals the things I need to know. And now I am edified and filled with faith. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. That is the second purpose of tongues. So first, as a sign to the unbeliever. Second, for my own personal edification. So I can do it anytime I want. As much as I want. So if you're feeling glum, what do? Honestly, anytime I have that weird feeling in my, you know what I'm talking about, in your spirit right here, I pray in the Spirit until it goes away. Because the Holy Ghost and I co-labor together about this thing that I don't even know what it is, but he does, and it will lift. So you pray till it lifts. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see where we are now. Na, 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 na. Praying in tongues is perfect prayer, everybody. So the third operation is praying the perfect will of God into the earth, is us co-laboring with the Lord to see his kingdom come and his will be done in the earth. Amen? So in a time such as this, it could mean life and death. And I'm telling you, people, as the days progress, the dark will get darker. But in Goshen, where the church lives, it will get lighter and lighter. Amen? But it's important for us to press toward the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus, to press into him, to press into all the weapons and the tools that he's given us, because we know that he supplies all our needs. We tithe. That's our insurance policy, that God will always take care of me. I have removed myself from the Babylonian system, worrying about the economy. I don't worry about the economy. I'm in God's economy. When I tithe, God is obligated by his own word, and he is not a man that he should lie, that he would take care, he would rebuke the devourer on my behalf, that my seed will not cast its grape in the field before its time. So now I take and I sow, and when I sow, every single thing my hand touches is blessed. And not only do I have one field, but some of you need to plant some more fields. Not just one source of income, not just one stream, but multiple streams coming in. Because we are kings and priests unto our God. We come here, we worship Him, we're priests of the Most High God. We minister to Him in holy things in the holy place. We love Him, we appreciate Him, we give Him thanks. And then we go out into the marketplace as kings and priests. And we come and we conquer. And we bring back the spoil to the kingdom of God. And we do the works of the ministry. Amen? So why do we want to have that finance? It's because God will establish His covenant on the earth. The Lord wants to see people saved. He wants to see souls saved. He wants to see kingdom territory taken. He wants to see His kingdom come and His will be done on the earth. Amen? So before it all wraps up, you don't want to be watching as the stomach turns or The Bachelor or, and Jesus comes and you're like, where'd everybody go? Because right now we're in the dispensation of grace. But when the rapture takes place and the church leaves, the only restraining force for good in the earth is the Holy Spirit resident in the church. And when we're gone, 7 years of tribulation will take place. Some people believe we'll be in part of the tribulation. I personally don't. Thanks, no. No thanks. I'd rather leave before. Thank you. You want to stay and hang around halfway through, that's up to you. You certainly can. But before the flood, Noah was taken into the ark. Amen? Before Jericho was destroyed, Rahab the harlot and her family were all taken out, right? I believe the Lord will take us out before. Amen? That's just my opinion. We'll talk about it another time if you want. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. So when we pray in tongues, we're praying God's perfect will of God into the earth. Into the earth. So first is sign to the end of believer. Second, personal edification. Third, and most important, this is us offensively going with the word of God and going with the prayer of the saints. Amen. Let's go to Romans 8. And I'm winding down here. I'll tell you a story I heard, which is really cool. Okay, so Romans 8:11. Did I give you that one? But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. The Bible says he'll quicken your mortal body. Quicken your mortal body. The more time you spend praying in the spirit, healing comes, quickening comes, energy comes, life comes into your body. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at 8:26 and 27. Romans 8:26, 27. Pastor Ed talked about this too. Hallelujah. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not always know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us which with groanings which cannot be uttered. 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen? So when you pray in unknown tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. So someone could call the prayer line, or they call me or one of the intercessors here, and we put it out in the prayer chain to pray for people. And a lot of times, you don't know their personal circumstances. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what has to move. I mean, we pray the word. We know that by the stripes of Jesus, he is healed. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from every plague. We speak the word, and when we're done with the word, we pray in the Holy Spirit. And you pray until you get that lifting, you get that peace. And then we co-labor with God. That is what we're doing in this earth. We're co-laboring with him. When somebody talks about praying for Ukraine, I mean, we know the obvious things. Lord, help the refugees get out. Let them be safe. Protect the church. Da, da, da. You know, you can pray certain things in the natural, but then when you're done, you pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will direct. We'll pray in the Holy Ghost over your family that they'll get out safely. Amen? In Jesus' name. And he'll protect in the secret place of the Most High. So it's important for us to know that when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that's our place of protection, no matter what's going on around us. 1,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me because I made the Lord my habitation. I'm hiding in him, amen? And that's why we need to stay in love and out of strife, because that's the secret place, amen? Oh, And then we're in the secret place of the Most High, whose power no foe can withstand. Because if God is for me, who can successfully be against me? Nobody. But don't go out trying to fight the enemy on your own. We have to go in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to commune with the Holy Spirit. We're going to get the mind of God. We're going to understand what he wants. We're going to get the word and the scriptures and pull those out and wield the sword of the Spirit. And then pray in tongues until we feel a peace. And that is the greatest operation of the gift of tongues, is us co-laboring with God to see his kingdom come and his will be done on the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a quick story. I got 14 seconds. About the Israeli missiles, I just heard about this. There was a newspaper in the Middle East, and I don't know exactly when this was, but this was somebody, this man is an intercessor, and they pray over the nation of Israel. And when they hear that there are ICBMs or different, you know, rocket launches coming, they'll pray about it. And they said that when they were praying, the Lord told them to pray against, what is it called? It's like a GPS tracking system that allows them to know to hit the target. And he said, pray for a disruption in the GPS system or the homing device system. That's probably another technical term for you Army guys, you might know. But to pray for that. And he said they would pray, and the missiles would go, like, they'd see them coming in, and they'd go. And there was actually a headline in the paper that I saw. I wish I could have grabbed it. It just wasn't enough time. But the headline said, their God diverts our missiles so they won't hit the target. Ha ha! That's right! That's right! And each of those missiles are like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions. Amen? So, hallelujah. The Lord will fight for Israel. The Lord will fight for Israel. You need to be on the right side of that. The Lord will fight for Israel. He'll fight for his people. And do you guys know Chip Rim? You know Chip Rim, he's come here? On Wednesday mornings, his mother has a prayer call for Israel. And there is a man that was saved in Lynn Hammond's church. He was of Arab descent, I guess. And he, when they get together, they pray in the spirit. And he hears the interpretation in English. Well, not in English. He hears it in Arabic. So the Lord told him, you will hear Billy praying in tongues, but you're going to hear it in Arabic without an Arabic accent. And then he translates it into English and tells the prayers what they're praying. And then there's scripture right there to back it up. And it's been amazing. And basically, one of the things he said is that the Lord, he said, not to fear. Say, fear not. Look at the person next to you. Say, fear not. For the Lord your God is with you. You will not have to fight in this battle. He said, I'm going to protect Israel, United States, church. Woo! Other times he's mentioned the Ukraine and Canada too, so amen. So, Father, we just thank you. Let's lift up our hands, Lord. We thank you so much that we're in your army, Lord God. We thank you that you're leading and guiding us into all truth. We thank you that you're the amazing God. You're the awesome God. And we are so happy to be in your employ. We're so happy to be co-laborers with you today. We thank you so much for all you're doing in this life. And we thank you that we can go and be with you soon, but only after we accomplish our mission. In Jesus' name, amen.